Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Theme song, Joe Biden, involved in town halls. They weren't together. They were separate. They were supposed to have a second debate, but it did not go off because initially it was pitched as it must be virtual since the president had COVID-19 and now he is tested negative. But the election commission ixnayed that. So ABC had one candidate, NBC, had the president. And it's interesting to see that because it was something that I had never seen before. And as you would expect, there were the normal questions that would be asked about money, COVID, questions about reports that had come out, tax returns, that kind of stuff. And I don't think there's any big revelations at all, but it was interesting to have one guy have to be a little more on the defensive and another playing offense. The president looked like he was acknowledging some of what was written in the New York Times report that he was in debt and left open the possibility that some of it was owed to maybe a foreign bank. He insisted he didn't owe money to Russia or any other sinister people and suggested that $400 million in debt was a very, very small percentage compared to his overall assets. So that's where we are, America, and those listening to us beyond our borders. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for joining me on this version of the show. The interesting part of this was that you had Biden's 90-minute town hall, you know, pretty much when it concluded, you had him spend another half hour taking questions from the people in the audience who didn't get an opportunity during the televised portion of it. So Trump and Biden were supposed to spend Thursday night on the same debate stage, like I mentioned, in Miami, but it was scuttled because of the coronavirus infection that the president had. Instead, this is the way things went down. Different cities, different networks. Biden was on NBC from Philly. Trump on NBC from Miami. So, and the feel of the town halls were much different. One of the things the president did say, because there's all this craziness about the transfer of power, and one of the things that he did say when he about the peaceful transfer, he said the answer is yes, you know, I will, but I want it to be an honest election, and so does everybody else. So that was his point. He said he wants it to be an honest election, you know, period, but of course there would be a peaceful transition of power. Joe Biden blasted the president's foreign policy, declaring that America first has made America alone, and that President Trump embraces all thugs in the world. And he said, you know, you could say I'm a lousy candidate. I didn't do a good job, but I hope that doesn't say that we're racially, religiously at odds, as it appears the president wants us to be. Biden said he plans to participate in next week's debate, but he would ask the president to take a COVID-19 test before arriving, just for decency for everyone around him, including non-candidates like the camera operators. So how about that? So the final time next week in Nashville, instead of these separate town halls with the expected questions and the answers, I think, that were pretty expected. Something that wasn't expected, and the president was asked this, is Chris Christie, the former governor of New Jersey, who was at the Rose Garden for the announcement of Amy Coney Barrett as the president's pick, nominee, if you will, to fill the vacant spot on the Supreme Court. So Chris Christie came out of that, and he was one of the people who tested positive. He was actually in the ICU for 7 days battling COVID-19, and that experience rocked him. He said, as a former public official, I believe we have not treated Americans as adults who understand true sacrifice and responsibility. He urged people to wear a mask. He urged them to do that. Remember the top doc, Anthony Fauci, last week called the Rose Garden event, where the few attendees actually wore a mask, a super spreader event. A super spreader event. So Christie said, it's something to take very seriously. The ramifications are wildly random and potentially deadly. It's the question mark effect. I keep saying that. Living under the question mark. Who knows? You get it. What does that mean? I think it's great that he admitted he screwed up and he told people to wear a mask. And he said it. He said, this is the thing from Chris Christie. Every public official, regardless of party or position, should advocate for every American to wear a mask in public, appropriately social distance, and to wash your hands frequently every day. At the same time, we should be reopening in every corner of the nation under these guidelines. So he's saying, mask up, do the things, but we, as a nation, should be able to open up. And because we don't have a stimulus and people who were counting on the stimulus, and because there seems to be so much rancor over the amount of money in the stimulus package, it just keeps looking bleak. Maybe at the last minute or beforehand something happens, you know, before the election, it would seem that this would be the smart move, especially for the president, to have something to hang on to tell people to hang on and look, we've got the help and here's what it's going to be. But I don't know if that makes the cut or not. There are people that need it desperately, desperately. Right? I think it's funny. I looked at the cover of New York Magazine, and they almost look like, except for they had suits on, they almost look like an event that I covered at Caesars with two well-known boxers where they were doing the weigh-in thing, that whole show that gets put on. So for the president, it seemed like it was a little more of a debate. It just had that feeling for Joe Biden, and that makes sense because he had to be on the defense more. Well, Joe Biden was more on the offense. Coming up, odds and ends. Things you might have missed, things that we would talk about if we were neighbors. Ooh, stay with us.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not, but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you have health or energy challenges? Would you like to support your health and energy from a product that people consistently feel the uplifting and health-building effects from the first day they consume it? I introduce you to Green Meadow Whey, the only whey protein powder from grass-pastured cows that is processed in a manner that ensures that the proteins and amino acids remain in their correct geometric shape that the body can use. The naturally occurring proteins, peptides, and amino acids in renatured whey are proven to support multiple aspects of human health, from complementing your immune system to neutralizing chronic inflammation, to supporting detoxification, to stabilization of blood sugar, and more. Additionally, due to the Tesla-like frequencies encoded into Green Meadow Whey, it is a dramatic support for your energy and mood. And it is an excellent emergency preparedness food with well over a 5-year shelf life. To order, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit greenmeadowwhey.com. Greenmeadowwhey.com.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Interesting tidbits you might have missed that we might be talking about if we were neighbors. Of course, appropriately social distancing. Definitely. This story blew me away and is very sad. And our friends in Missouri know this story. There was a Missouri man who was in jail for 17 years. Guess what? He didn't commit the crime. He was finally freed, but again, 17 years in jail. They discovered he had a doppelganger with the same name as him. A judge declared there was no longer enough evidence to support the conviction of Richard Anthony Jones once it was clear that the eyewitness testimony that put him behind bars was mistaken. Oh, how sad is that? They look so alike. I mean, there's some differences, but there are a lot of similarities, a lot of similarities. So, for Jones, you know, the information is he when he was in jail, he heard about a prisoner who looked just like him, and they had the same first name. So he took that information to his lawyers at the Missouri Innocence Project as a last-ditch effort to appeal his conviction. So think about that. He's sitting in prison. He knows that he's not guilty. He does reach out to this Innocence Project. That's why they're so good. And the attorney said they were floored at how much they looked alike. This was armed robbery that he was in prison for since 1999. Because witnesses said they saw a man wrestle a woman to the ground outside of a Walmart in Kansas City, Kansas, trying to steal her purse. After being shown photos out of a police database, witnesses identified Jones as the perpetrator, but they had no DNA, fingerprint, or even physical evidence. So when Jones's attorney showed the photos of the two men to the victim, witnesses, and a prosecutor, they all agreed they could not tell them apart. The lookalike has a nickname, Ricky. He testified at the hearing that he did not commit the robbery. The judge did not convict Ricky of the crime, but he said a jury would not be able to reach a determination that, you know, that this defendant was guilty in light of the new evidence. So now he has to readjust to life after prison. Well, of course, there was a GoFundMe page that was set up because, I mean, now he gets out after all this time, and he, so far I checked the page, he's gotten over $25,000. So I guess that's the good news there. But what would that make you feel like? What would you, how hardened could you become? He's got children. How hardened would you become if you were in that situation? I can't imagine. The thing that would be the worst would be being accused of something you didn't do. And you can say it till you're blue in the face, but no one's believing you. No one's believing it at all, right? They're just not believing you. And then there you are. You're locked up. Oof. Tough. At least finally that was made right. But how do you make up for the 17 years? How do you make up for 17 years? Then this would be something that would be interesting to talk about because we'd be so depressed after having that conversation, social distancing, of course. We would talk about, or I would talk about, this thing that fascinates me. The biggest collection of Nazi artifacts in Argentina's history was in a secret room in a house near the capital, in this room that you had to know it was there. There were 75 things that were found in the collector's house, including a bust of Adolf Hitler, magnifying glasses, Schwa stickers, all kinds of things. And they believe that the relics are the originals that belonged to some high-ranking Nazis in Germany during World War II. And some did have photos with them. So there were photos with some of the stuff. I mean, the hidden passageway, you can't make this up. Interpol agents followed a collector and raided the house on June 8th. They found a hidden passageway to a room filled with Nazi artifacts behind a large bookshelf. Now, the collector, by the way, is under investigation by a federal judge. Some of the pieces that they found are stolen or imitation, but there is a lot of original stuff. They're not even sure how they got into Argentina, these artifacts, but they have a theory. They think they were smuggled by a high-ranking Nazi after World War II when South America became a refuge for those fleeing war criminals. I mean, that's irrefutable proof of the top leaders who escaped Nazi Germany, I would think. Wow, fascinating. The secret door. And the biggest haul, a treasure trove of artifacts. You know, whether it was just anything, there was medals, there was Nazi medals. Crazy. I mean, just think about that. They had no idea. So it leads to two things. One, probably a conviction. Probably. And then the idea of finding that stuff and what kind of story does it tell? Whose story does it tell in looking at it? So that they'd have to really, really examine that pretty closely. But anyway, I think that counts as an odds and ends story because it's very odd. But very cool that they found it. Very, very cool. Meanwhile, with a couple of minutes left here for odds and ends, the situation in California, because I've gotten a lot of emails from many of you about, well, what's going on with California? You were giving us fire updates. As it's still on fire. Well, let me give you this update. thousands of people in Northern California don't have power. A utility cut off service to prevent more of these powerful winds from damaging equipment and sparking wildfires because they've got that fall heat wave. Luckily, they started to restore them late on Thursday afternoon, and Pacific Gas and Electric said about 30,000 customers were still in the dark, but that was down from 45,000 the previous night. I mean, it's been a disastrous wildfire season in California. 8,500 fires, 6,400 square miles since the start of the year. Wow. And remember, the governor, who's always headbutting the president, formally submitted a letter to the White House at the end of September asking for a major disaster declaration. A major disaster declaration. And why that? Because it allows for cost sharing for damage, cleanup, rebuilding between the state and federal governments. It also activates relief programs led by FEMA, by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and the red tape gets cut. And, of course, California didn't ask for a specific dollar amount, and the reason why is because the damage estimates aren't complete, and they're off the charts. And how much would you ask for? It has to be frustrating to get that call or that knock or that tweet saying that the power's out. The power's out. I know you were binging on Netflix, but there are other things you're going to have to do, right? And it's tough. It's tough in California when you have the winds whipping up the way they are. And, you know, the National Weather Service is predicting strong, dry, what they call Diablo winds in Northern California. So if they didn't have that, the fires could have been handled easier. When you talk about more than 4.1 million acres burning over the course of the year, oof, 31 people have died in more than 8,500 fires that have burned in the state in all of 2020, if we crunch it all together. Wow. It does make you wonder, you know, the whole solar thing, what could you do, backup generators? Now more than ever, it's not so funny to have a go bag. It's like a necessity. It's not like, it is a necessity. Let's put it that way. We're going to Melbourne next.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy is slamming Twitter for limiting distribution of a New York Post story about Hunter Biden's business activities in the Ukraine. At his weekly press conference, McCarthy told reporters that the big social media companies are guilty of hypocrisy and should lose the special protections the companies enjoy.
Did big tech censor the world's largest sponsor of terrorism, the supreme leader of Iran? The answer to all three questions is no. If social media companies intend to use the protections provided by Congress for some Americans but not for others, We should remove those special standards altogether.
The Senate Judiciary Committee will vote Tuesday on a subpoena for Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey over the platform's blocking of the story. That measure put forth by Texas Senator Ted Cruz. He says he wants to see the leader of the tech company in front of their committee next Friday. This is USA Radio News. C-SPAN suspends its political editor over lying about a tweet. USA Radio Network's Val Dior has the details.
At a time when many are questioning the integrity of journalists, C-SPAN had to draw a line in the sand over a tweet. Political editor Steve Scully sent a tweet reaching out to former White House Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci. Then he lied and said he was hacked. Well, he now admits he lied to cover the unpopular tweet. He issued an apology, and C-SPAN said the damage is done and suspended Scully indefinitely. President Trump was one of the first to call out Scully last week on Twitter before Scully made the admission, leaving the president obligated to point out on Thursday that he was right all along. With USA Radio News, I'm Val Dior.
The Supreme Court nomination of Judge Amy Coney Barrett will go before the Senate for a vote on October 22nd. The Senate Judiciary Committee scheduled a vote on Thursday at the end of a four-day confirmation hearing. Speaking in Kentucky, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he has the necessary votes to confirm Barrett. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
In Office Corner, we're going to Melbourne, Australia. Eric Shantimas joins us, and he's got a book that he's written that is just fabulous. It's called Signal 8, an Australian's Paramedics Story. And I've talked about paramedics before, people that in my family that have been paramedics, things they've seen and what it's like, and he really flushes it out, amplifies it, and takes us to some pretty dark and interesting places, and talks about how important it is and what the front line is like. But I want you to meet him and him to tell you a lot of this in his own words. So, Eric, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for the opportunity. It's great to be in contact from very far away.
What made you decide to write this book? What was the impetus for the book?
Well, it was... I guess a twofold thing. One, that I was interested in writing a book long ago, and as paramedics we used to sit around in what we call the mess room back in the 80s, and we'd come back from various cases and say, well, someone should write this down and tell a story. So we all had ideas about what could be in a book, but no one actually did it. But second to that was the loss of my wife 6 years ago, today as we speak. And I needed basically to survive and just keep moving on with life. I needed to put a project in front of myself on a daily basis so that I'd have a set routine, and also I guess it gave me an opportunity to tell my life story, talk about paramedics, but also most importantly for me at the time was to write, her name is Belen, to tell Belen's story as well.
So when you said about doing that and you go and you write it, and you talked to me off the air, and for everybody listening, I thought this was wonderful. But how do you so you need to be occupied to be able to move forward and all of that, and you pick a place in France to go that's historic, actually. That's rough. That's rough, Eric. And you kind of pull up, and that's how you pull this whole thing together, right?
Yes, that's right. I've always been a bit of a Francophile and just love basically anything French. And I was also very interested in World War II history. So I decided to go to a little village which was very close to the D-Day beaches. And it was the first French village liberated by U.S. troops, obviously on the 6th of June, 1944. So it was really an interesting place to be. But I decided to go there in winter so that I'd be pretty much forced to work indoors on the computer. And the weather really was atrocious. But a benefit of that was that I got to visit Omaha Beach on a really wintry day and had it totally to myself. It was really quite surreal and eerie. And then after that, I visited the U.S. Cemetery. So it was a great experience for me.
Oh, yeah, I bet. And thank you for giving us a little piece of that, too. In your book, you tell about some of the cases, the stories, and when we see ambulances, we know that they're racing to scenes where they could be helping someone having a heart attack. It could be a shooting. It could be a sick kid, for example. It could be drowning. It could be anything. When you look and back on your life and what you did as a paramedic, and you picked out the cases, how did you decide what cases you were going to write about? And tell us about one of the stories.
I guess for me, what was particularly important to tell was the cop death or the sudden infant death syndrome cases, because they were so frequent back in probably the early to mid 80s. No one can really explain why, and they seem to cluster in a particular part of Melbourne. They did happen in other areas. In fact, they happened all over, as you'll know, in America as well. But we seem to have it happened very commonly, and we would often come into our day shift starting at 7 o'clock, and often our first case was a SIDS case because, you know, the parents have just woken up, they've gone to check on their baby and found the baby non-breathing. So, of course, we'd be sent. So they were very traumatic cases. And being a micro paramedic at the time, that's a mobile intensive care ambulance, our job was to try and resuscitate those children. But with the SIDS cases, we always knew before we even arrived that the chances of resuscitating a child in those circumstances was virtually nil. But for us, what was particularly difficult was, of course, having the family there, often the siblings, and also to treat these children and try and resuscitate them. Back at those times, we're required to inject them directly into their heart with adrenaline, and it wasn't just a one-off. We would give the adrenaline intracardiac and then have to do it every few minutes, and it's a very disconcerting experience having to put a needle into a little child's chest.
Wow. Well, I bet it was really tough on you and so many of your colleagues to have to do that, without a doubt. In this book, you because you take us in so many different places, I kind of get, in the end, you take us down, you take us up, and I think that there is something to this. There is some meaning. There's some big takeaways from this. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
I hope most of all that they get a sense of hope. I mean, I do tell some pretty awful tales, but they're true life. But at the end of the day, no matter if we are suffering from PTSD or the loss of a partner, I want people to take away a belief that there is hope for them, and not to remain alone, to talk about their experiences. Again, whether it's loss of a partner or PTSD, just don't suffer in silence and alone, which is what we did years and years ago when it was pretty much an all-male profession. As males, of course, we don't talk much about our emotions or our feelings. But fortunately, that attitude, if you like, has changed now, and it's much, much better. And guys feel more free to talk about it, and the girls too now.
And in the book, and you and I talked about this off the air, you actually talk about two women, one in the revised book, and we'll talk about that in a second, but you also talk about your wife, and you told us that in the beginning, that that was cathartic for you to write this book. And again, it's Signal 8, an Australian paramedic story. You can pick it up on Amazon. So tell us about your wife. Give us a story about your wife.
Well, my wife was a wonderful person. She was from the Philippines, and she came to Australia as a primary school teacher, and later she went on to teach adult migrants the second languages of English. She did that for many years, and her death was totally unexpected. She had a minor procedure done at hospital, but while she was under the anaesthetic, she had a massive bleed in her brain. And she lingered for a couple of days in intensive care, but I was just sitting waiting for her to come out of the recovery room. But I never saw her, you know, conscious again. But she was a wonderful and unique person. And we spent, you know, 30 plus years together, all of which were wonderful. But her loss was so devastating that I really didn't want to go on with life at all. But it was a friend, or two friends of Geraldine, my now wife, who called me one day and asked me, would I like to speak to Geraldine, who suffered a similar loss? And my first reaction, in my mind at least, would be to say, no, I'm okay, I'll just carry on as I am. But something in me said I should take up this opportunity, and I'm so glad I did, because when I spoke with Geraldine the first time, we spoke for something like 6 or 8 hours on the phone. We just had a marvelous time, and when I finally met her, which wasn't long after that, we really hit it off, and here we are now, married just in July this year. And very, very happy together.
Wow, that's a great ending to the story. And I don't think we can do any better than that. It was such a delight to spend time with you and introduce you to the listeners. And I want to tell everyone again, you can pick up Eric's book on Amazon, Signal 8, an Australian paramedic's story. And thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much, Kate. And if I may point out there is a new version of the book about to be released. There is the older version available on Amazon, which you'll see with an ambulance on the cover, an Australian ambulance, if you like. And the new cover has an American paramedic and an American ambulance on the cover, so it's pretty hard not difficult to distinguish which is which. But the new version tells the story of Geraldine and I and how we met as well.
Yeah, I like that. So, all right, so I think everybody's got that. And, again, just congratulations on the marriage and finding love again. There's another part to that. And the revision of the book as well. So thanks.
Thank you very much, Kate. And I wish everyone well in America, especially during these COVID times.
Thank you. Down as fast as lightning. Crossing the stage, I know
you can feel the excitement. DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
There's nothing worse than thinking that your Medicare benefits are going to cover routine medical expenses like vision, dental, and prescription benefits, only to find that when an emergency arises, your Medicare plan is full of gaps that don't even begin to cover your medical emergency. How would it feel to have to go into debt because your Medicare program didn't cover everything 100%? Studies show that 95% of Medicare recipients pay more than $5,000 per year on out-of-pocket medical expenses. At SnapMedicare.com, we understand how important it is for you to be prepared for any type of medical emergency. All it takes is a quick phone call to 800-286-5516 to find out exactly where you stand with your Medicare coverage and to save thousands on future costs. Call 800-286-5516 to make sure your Medicare plan includes provisions to cover any gap in coverage. Whether you have questions about Part A or Part B Medicare coverage, remember, call 800-286-5516. SnapMedicare.com. Call 800-286-5516.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
About to begin this journey through the cosmos.
Robert Ian Rolwegen, he has written a book called Organ Orgasms, My Experience with Conscious Blood Flow. We had such an interesting conversation off the air about what that means and what the future is and where are we headed when it comes to knowing our own bodies and to what the difference is when you become attuned to the ability to just be and consciously feel, I guess, is the best way, in my words, to understand that. Robert, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on, and pleasure to be here.
So your book is about well-being, and I think being well. And when we talk about conscious blood flow, people have all kinds of things that I think they try to think and wonder, and what does that mean? So explain how you arrived at this and why you wrote the book.
Oh, well, that's the why. How about the why first? Because it's a little easier to explain. I'll need a minute on it here. I felt I had no choice in writing this book. Because in high school and university classes and my first job as a consulting statistician in medical school, I tried to avoid anything involved with writing, simply because I thought I couldn't write. In short, I did have a debilitating writing phobia. Now, as a management consultant for many years, I had to force myself to write. And while I don't no longer have a phobia, it's still hard for me to do. And starting around age 50, I became more focused on taking better care of myself. And a couple years later, where these first experiences with conscious blood flow were beginning to happen. And also around this time, I was getting premonitions that I would be writing a book. But I thought that was ludicrous and extremely annoying. But these premonitions didn't go away. And one day I was researching conscious blood flow, the neuroscience behind how this can happen. And the proverbial lightning bolt struck me. And I realized the book I would write was the one we're talking now, Organ Orgasm. I felt I had no choice because it was now clear what I had to do and who I needed to be. So here we are now on what conscious blood flow is all about, and how it, to me, has given us the ability to be much more healthy and to be happy. And as you put it well, like being well, those are the outcomes that I've experienced, and why I would like to share those experiences in the book.
So, and you do that, and you do it well, and you have ways that people can really experience that and understand that. And you talk about the amount of evidence, scientific evidence, about how the brain, the body, and the mind all work together, and that's how conscious blood flow is possible. So take us through that. So if you only did one thing, it wouldn't work. I mean, it's kind of like all the gears have to work together for you to really experience that, right?
Oh, you put that so well. You did a brilliant job on that one. I mean, exactly. This book is not formulaic. It's not like, here are the 5 steps to learn CBF in just 3 weeks. That would never work for this book. No, I think the short answer here, not the short answer, but is that first we have to learn to truly relax and learn to just be. And when that kind of happens, then we can learn to sense our inner or our interior body. And then second is that once we can sense our inner body, then we'll be able to learn to consciously influence our arteries to delight, to dilate, which would send more blood to the organ of interest. Now, here comes, this leads to pleasure sometimes, and even a tiny organ orgasm, hence the book's main title, Organ Orgasms. But this kind of, you know, when you do this kind of stuff, relaxing, etc., and it also leads to enhanced states of being and better states of well-being, which is the book's subtitle, A Book About Being and Well-Being. So that's kind of all these connections. And again, the concepts of being and well-being that's the key thing about the book. Even if you never ever did conscious blood flow, just the whole process of this is also of immense value, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think we're talking about this, but what do you really, really hope that people take away from reading the book?
Well, I guess the main thing I want people to take away is it's never too late to change yourself. Again, as I just said, I left my first job at the university because I thought I couldn't write. And now I have this huge book filled with 150 color drawings. It is a color book. I drew each one myself. So that's the key thing. That's the big thing. And then the next thing, of course, is a lot about what the book is about, and that is changing how we view and treat our bodies and the brain within to make us healthier and happier. And again, the key words are being and well-being.
And once you did that and you said, you know, at 50, boom, it's like, okay, you know, I can, it's time to change, I can do this. So it's never too late, and you said that it's never too late to do it. What's been the, for you, once you did it, and obviously this is a passion, and you set out to really make a great book where you said you did all the drawings yourself even. Once you did that and you made that change, what is the biggest difference in your life?
Oh, well, I feel alive, fully alive. I mean, Bud Craig, the neuroscientist who sort of gave me the proof on how you can feel an artery dilate, said if we can feel our blood flow, we're entering something called homeostatic sentience. That is, we know what it's like to feel alive. I mean, I agree, and such feelings are why I felt called to write this book. So it's alive, fully alive, and I also feel joy and peace now. But I'm ready to welcome all the many new challenges this book is going to bring to change me even more. And, you know, I hope to make the world even a better place to live in.
Yeah, and to be able to do that, it's really what we learn but put on a shelf, I think, body, brain, and mind, and having them work together. What was the biggest surprise for you in doing the book. Like you said, you know, all the things about, I didn't think I could do that, you know, feeling like you were sort of stuck, and then poof, you do it. What did you learn? Was there something that you learned that you didn't know?
Something I learned that I didn't know. Well, I learned that that you can do this. That, you know, people always, they talk about things like, you know, the yogis have probably been doing this kind of stuff 2,000 years ago. But they didn't know how it happened. It's like it took 1,000 years. Only in 1600 did we understand that the heart pumped blood. People thought the liver produced blood up until the 1600s continuously, wow. Which was ridiculous.
Right.
So the thing I learned was, again, the science can explain so many profound things about the world in the body, and I didn't want to write a book that I could do this. I wanted to write a book that I wanted to explain how it could happen. If I couldn't explain how it happened, I wouldn't write the book. And the idea is, again, how science can do marvelous things. And so that blew me away that I could finally come up with what I think is the evidence and proof. And so that I never wanted to be called a kook, because there's a lot of kooky stuff out there.
Exactly. So you said then, and that's why I emphasize that the stunning amount, you even say it, it's even described as that, of scientific evidence that's out there. And I love that you told us in 1600, who thought they didn't know that the heart pumped blood? So, boy, we've come a long way. And in your book, you can see it, you can follow that along and see for yourself how that works. Was it tough doing the drawings? What was that like?
Oh, well, it was certainly tough at the beginning because I've never drawn. It wasn't my strength. And they weren't hand-drawn. I mean, maybe I started that way, but I had to invest in computer software, drawing software to do that. And to learn that, so it took a long time to learn, but it was a fun process because it pulled everything together. And the one reason I could have written a 100-page book, but it would never have been the book I want. It needed illustrations because even if I talked about any organ in detail, and without words aren't going to do it. You need pictures.
Yeah,
and you need pictures,
I agree,
to learn how to do this. So could just flip through the book and look at the pictures and I think get their money's worth if they bought
right.
it.
Yeah, I agree. And that's where we end it. That's perfect. Organ Orgasms, My Experiences with Conscious Blood Flow. Thanks so much, Robert, for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.